If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
It's 2019, you know, I could watch chick fist her butt on my phone in like 2 seconds.
And Tyler Fudge!
I don't care about your beefs with people, Bruce Prichard, you're an ugly old fucking weird dude.
Suplex City Limits!
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 215 of Suplex City Limits for May 26, 2019. Puff, puff, pass. It's your boy, the King of Long Style, Jim Vicious, and he's repping the Great High North, my co-host.
I'm not high today because it's too early in the morning, but I'm Tyler Funch.
Never too early.
Oh, it's too early for me today. My lungs are, I smoked so much last night. I smoked cigarettes today and like I had one and I was like, Oh, I'm so purified in here right now.
You're still high anyway. Fuck it.
Oh, of course. I had some cookies and cream edibles last night too, so I'm probably still feeling a little bit of that.
But yeah, I was out of my fucking head watching Double or Nothing.
Oh, at least the best thing I could have done was smoke sativa up until 10 o'clock because I had no indica left until 10 o'clock. But once 10 o'clock hit, buddy, I got fucking dumped on.
There you go. Suplex City Limits available for listening where fine podcasts are found. You can follow me on the show Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Follow Tyler at the Federation. If you like this show, consider supporting it by picking up a t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. We've got 5 designs available, shipping worldwide. You can also donate via our PayPal. SuplexCityLimits@gmail.com. Like bad motherfuckers, deep in your snatch, Cody Hatch. Big body Sam, much love to you. You can also donate on our Patreon. Become a producer. Get yourself a shout out. Like better than Festus, Joseph Justice. Caleb, you should see the size of his organ field, Morgan Field. He's not balding, Christopher Spalding. See Money, Be Rad Brad, our friends at the Smack It Down podcast. Check them out of our podcast and finally cover a lot of shit we don't, like Progress, WXW, other wrestling from Europe that has predominantly white men.
Small, tiny white men.
Yeah. Deshaun Balea, he's changed his name on here or something, or he's new. Better than Terry Balea, maybe we'll call him.
What is his full name?
Deshaun Balea.
Better than Terry Deshaun Balea. I don't know. That doesn't really work. But,
The infamous Chris Savage, kick-ass Keith Martin, the Rice Rone, Jabrone, Tylone, Insane Ian Jackson, Jumpin' Jeremy Foltz, and this week on my plain vanilla Martin Corns, dude, I'm just going simple with a little chocolate sauce. And maybe some, edible brownie chunks.
I'm gonna harker back to the conversation we had before we did this, but I'm gonna layer some pineapple crush and make myself a little plain vanilla crush float.
Ooh,
that's what I'm
pineapple floats. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
This
Speaking
week,
of which, I think that would be delicious.
I think it would. This week on the show, we'll be talking all the shit of the week. Some shit just got ditched because we kind of put the show off until now so we could watch Double or Nothing. So probably a Double or Nothing nerd fest. So
yeah,
we need a warning, you know, like a siren to warn people and haters that we're going to talk about AEW.
AEW talk, exclusive AEW talk.
Yeah.
Should be flashing up on your screen right now.
Yeah, if you hate everything. Not the place for you.
This is
anyhow. Yeah. Let's get into this shit as we do every week with the top three after a word from our sponsor.
It's WCW Dash and Brawlers with Diamond Dallas Page and Sting, Kevin Nash and Goldberg. Bash and Brawlers.
Are you ready to bash and brawl?
When you wrestle with Bash and Brawlers, they tell you what you're bashing.
You smashed my head.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
He knows you're grabbing his nose.
Get off my nose.
Twist his arm.
Oh, my aching arm.
Hear him bang when you bend his leg.
You're breaking my leg.
Bash and Brawlers tell you when you win.
1, 2, 3.
Who's next?
It's like they're alive.
Bash and Brawlers, they tell you what you're bashing. Each sold separately.
Ho ho. Ha 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 ha.
6-star Meltzer Rated Podcast.
Suplex City.
Limit.
Top.
Suplex City Limits Top 3, our top 3 matches of the week. Kind of. I mean, there's a lot of great matches in Japan and shit, but
yeah.
We just watched Double or Nothing, so like I fuck everything else that happened this week.
Yeah, like right now is not the time to talk about the New Japan or the best of Super Juniors. Right now is all anybody wants to hear about is Double or Nothing. So
that's right. Do we have these in order? I don't know if I chose an order of these matches.
I didn't. I got mine written in the order in which I think they would be. But I mean, it's all subjective. Whatever you like.
Take us through it, man.
You want me to start from the bottom, then get to where we are here, like Drake?
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of Drake, the Toronto Raptors going to the finals of the NBA playoffs.
I dig it, man.
Fucking hey.
Finally.
Yes. This is the most wins they've ever gotten in a playoff series, obviously, because they're making it to the finals now. But, oh, it's fantastic. But speaking of fantastic athletes, all the way from Japan, we had Hikaru Shida, Riho Mizunami taking on Aja Kong, Yuka Sasaki, and Emma Sakura. I thought that match was fantastic.
I would try to look back and find it. We read Brad last night in the haze of all of the evening. He told me that one of these girls is the girl that Kenny Omega wrestled.
Is that what it is? Because they did mention that this girl's been wrestling since she was for 13 years. She's 21 years old.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure that's it then. Yeah.
That would be, I believe, the girl in the Kairi Sane getup with the pink suit.
I think he said she was an all white on the winning team, and even then I was still like, I don't know, dude.
would it be the Freddie Mercury girl?
No,
because that's the girl in the all white.
I don't know.
Either way, there is a girl here. I thought it was the really tiny lady, but which I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly which one is which. I know who Aja Kong is. I know who Sasazaki is, and Emi Sakura. I know who those three are. Riho is the girl that was in the red suit. Mizunami, I believe, was the girl in the pink suit, which is the really tiny girl, I think. And then the girl in the parachute pants, I think, is Shida.
Haruka is the girl he wrestled.
Oh, Haruka. Hikaru Shida. Because there is no Haruka.
Hey, let's wake up and on barely any sleep, get super baked and try to figure out which of these Japanese women is which.
Either way,
I know the one that looks like Bigfoot. Okay, I know that one, but I don't know the other ones.
This is what I gotta say about this match. This did, in my opinion, more for women's wrestling than anything the WWE has done to date.
It kind of did.
Because what this did was, this had 6 females in a match where all 6 of them had their own personality. Many of them were adorable as fucking sin.
Oh my God. How about that? I don't know what her name is, but they're calling her the magical girl. The one that kind of like looks like she's
a girl. When she would do her little fucking like peace sign, she'd bend over sideways, do a peace sign. I was like, oh, you're adorable.
Dude,
if I was in Las Vegas right now, I'd follow you around everywhere.
There's no. We've said it many times on the show. There's no better baby face than a cute Japanese girl.
There isn't. It's not like, possible, dude, especially going up against Aja Kong.
And when you see them selling and shit, you're just like, oh man, like something in your Caucasian white manness. It might be other people too. I don't know, but I fucking just like, you just feel so bad for little cute Japanese girls.
You do, because they show it in their face, like Kairi Sane. She shows it in her face when she's selling, and you feel for it. But at the same time, you had some great work, like the the Sheeta, I believe, which is the, I think the parachute pants girl. I don't know. If it's not, who the fuck cares? This was a great match.
What was with the Freddie Mercury girl?
Whatever it was great. Because
you know, so when she did the We Will Rock You, that like the fucking hard cam started shaking.
Dude, the crowd was so into it. The crowd was so fucking into her. And that's Sakura. That's the one of the names that I do know, because that's the one that was dressed as a Newfoundland flag, and I popped hard when I seen that. It was fantastic. But like, when she came out with the Freddie Mercury mustache, I was like a little bit taken back. I was like, what the fuck is this?
So that is that girl then, Emmy Sakura.
So that's the one that Kenny Omega fought?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I thought she was more of a veteran than that.
Well, I'm trying to do it here. I'm trying to look, and it was like, I found.
Oh, no, she was born in 1976. There's no way. She made her debut in 1995.
Oh, God. Brad B-Rad's just listening to this right now. Like, you fucking idiot. Stop trying to identify them. That would be the only thing I would say is like, I don't know who they are. I'm having a hard time keeping track of them and shit, but they all did show a ton of personality, man. Like, you know, Joshi Wrestling, they have so much personality and character to them.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I feel that B-Rad Brad has his finger on the pulse more than me.
Yeah.
But literally her name is Hakura, and there's nobody named that in this match. So he might have been mistaken. I want to say that. Ooh. I don't want to be the people reporting that and then come back be like, yeah, you guys are fucking wrong. It's like, yeah, I know.
to clarify, B-Rad Brad knew who was holding the list of Jericho based on his hair. I fucking shit you not.
What's that?
In the Jericho's entrance, the one with the list of Jericho?
Yeah.
Okay, B-Rad Brad knew who the dude was based on his hair alone.
What a fucking guy. So
he's like, oh, that's fucking XYZ indie guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. He knows his shit.
Fantastic. I'm going down a rabbit hole. I'm going to find out here in a second whether or not she is, because I found her Twitter. Because a couple years ago, she did say that she wanted a rematch from Kenny Omega. That was in 2015, but I did not find her Twitter.
I don't know. Imagine if they did do something like that in AEW at some point. Oh, God, the hate would be through the roof, man.
It would be.
Yeah, I really fucking love this. We can't not talk about the fucked up finish, you know?
That's nobody's fault but the timekeeper. That is a shitty move by the timekeeper, from just assuming that it was a three count without the ref even pointing.
But, yeah, dude, really. And it took away from the finish, because it was hot as shit. And I saw people saying that it wasn't hot for this match.
Yeah.
Dude, I can go back and watch that, man. The finish of that, the fucking crowd was going crazy for it.
They were. So I found a picture of her. She is definitely not in this match.
Well,
as far as I can tell. But I could be, like I said, I could be wrong.
Dig it up with B-Rad Brad.
Like, I'm literally looking at it, and it looks like, I don't see it. But I mean, I could be wrong. I could be in like some post stone haze.
Oh, yeah, man. But yeah, I really liked the match. I thought it was fun. That finish thing sucked, but. We got an OG You Fucked Up chant, which is pretty good.
Yeah, we did. And it was all based. That was one thing about this crowd. This crowd was very forgiving.
Yeah.
The only person they chanted You Fucked Up to was the timekeeper, the bellboy.
Can we kind of too? I mean, just while we're here and I think about it, you know, people always say that you can't book a wrestling show. Like, well, you can't have every match try to steal the show. You know, WWE, they always try to put these matches to bring you down. They intentionally put matches on a pay-per-view to bring you down.
Yeah.
I think this whole thing spits in the face of that. Every match was trying to steal the show. Are you kidding me?
It did. And every match built to another match. You know what I mean? Like, the progression of the matches were perfect. Like, each one was a step above the next one. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's just a different thing. Like, I feel like everybody was out to fucking steal the show on there, and that's I always said like, why can't it be that way? And people say it's not, but
yeah. What do you think of Aja Khan?
I mean, dude, she's old.
She's old as fuck. You know? Yeah, she's been around for 30 years. I thought it was awesome.
I thought they did a pretty good job with her.
They kept her until the last part of the match. That's the only time she's needed, because all these girls could work. All these girls had a character. All these girls had personality. So there was nothing you needed Aja Kong for, other than having Aja Kong come in and take the smallest person and beat the piss out of her. That's all you needed, and that's what we got. And it was fantastic.
It was, I had to do, and they were coming down. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is going to be great. They're going to drop fucking science, because it doesn't really matter. Like, pretty much every Joshi wrestler you see, they're fucking tremendous, man. And like you said, I felt like this did a lot more for, you know, women's wrestling than these bullshit feuds with, you know, just something with Ronda Rousey, just because.
Yeah, I agree 100%. 100%.
Shit. What else we got?
I'm going to go with Young Bucks taking on the Lucha Brothers for the AAA Tag Team Championship. I thought that was,
that was pretty awesome. Great.
And this is, and I want to say this here, Justin Roberts, I thought was fantastic on the horn.
Yeah.
I loved it. Absolutely.
I saw that you did. I saw on Twitter that you did.
Yeah,
I didn't hate it. I like him as a dude. I like his voice, but some of the way he does things, he has like this mid-range thing that he does. Like, I don't know.
I love it.
This is probably weird, but I'm kind of a fucking nerd for that shit. Like, really? I'm kind of a nerd for announcing. Like, when I was a little kid, like I like the wrestlers too, but like I liked the fucking announcer, and I liked fucking like Bobby Heenan managing. Like, I liked weird parts of the business. So ring announcing is a thing that I like. Even when I went to that fucking, if I go to like a race or something and there's a guy, you know, doing the talking, I went to a roller derby and I was like, oh, this fucking comment, this announcer sucks.
Get a better announcer as fuck.
I was like, fuck, I should get that person's job. Then I thought, like, I don't really want to actually have to go and do that.
No. But tell me, Jim, how much did you love this match?
Dude, it was awesome. I mean, I saw, you know, some people hate this kind of stuff, and I guess whatever, but I think it's awesome. Lucha Bros came out in badass entrance masks.
Oh, yeah. Just little sugar skulls, basically. Oh, they were fantastic.
Good. But yeah, man. What else we got in here? I'm trying to look at my fucking notes.
Well, I thought Rey Fénix and Pentagon looked fantastic together. They had a nice little color scheme going on. The Young Bucks coming out looking like Elvis, I thought was fantastic, because, I mean, in this company, they are Elvis, essentially.
And you're also in Vegas.
That's true. But no, the match itself, I thought was really good. They're playing up on the Young Bucks, trying to get the groove back, and they weren't really, on the same page, because Nick would hit Matt a bunch, Matt would hit Nick a bunch, and it just caused for a little bit of tension. But once the match went on, they were telling the story about how the Young Bucks really find their footing. And I thought it was a really good story to tell, and I thought the match itself was very athletic, very fun, some cool spots. Was it a Canadian Destroyer on the apron that Pentagon hit on Nick, I believe?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to even remember now.
It's absolutely fantastic, though. So good.
If you didn't know, the Young Bucks can't tell a story, okay? All they do is spots.
Yeah.
They don't tell a story.
They only had about 3/4 of the wrestling world believing that Matt had a bad back for about a year, but okay.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Yeah. Fell in the neck here. Also, did you catch on that they had to like go to the playbook of their greatest rivals in this?
Yes, they pointed to the thumb on their hand, which means Motor City Machine Guns. They did. Matt pulled out the Brain Buster on the turnbuckle, I believe, from El Generico.
Yeah. Which,
that looks sickening. That was unreal.
They took moves from the Machine Guns, from Steen and Generico, and then like at the end, stealing moves from the Lucha Bros. I'm like, fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah. It's a really good thing to do. I thought that putting their foot forward, the tag team division that they have here, when you look at Best Friends and Angelico and Evans and the people.
They got five teams so far, and they're fucking all great teams.
Is that all they have? It's five teams?
Yeah. Right now, that I'm aware of.
Okay, what would that be? Best Friends, Super Smash Bros. Friends.
Yeah, Super Smash Bros. Evans and Angelico, Bucks, and then Lucha Bros.
Lucha, yeah. I would, you know, I assume that Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy is going to be a tag team because that just cool. works. Just have Jungle Boy come down on Luchasaurus's back. That'd be fantastic.
fucking riding Yoshi.
Yeah, essentially. And so the I don't want to get into the rest of the matches. I'm going to leave it at that. But this was to me. If it, I know that you couldn't do it, but like I would have had this as the main event. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you can't though.
You know? You can't. No. But like the way the main event ended, it caused for it to be a great ending for the show, anyways. But
also, I was super surprised that the Bucks retain the AAA championships here.
I was too. I was too. But at least for now, that gives the AEW themselves a tag team title to fight for until they develop their own.
Also, side note, if you can get the machine guns for like one little run somewhere to build up somewhere, please do that.
Please. Yeah, I agree 100%. I know Alex Shelley claims he's retired, but this is a time for Alex Shelley to make more money he's ever made in his life. So,
dude. Yeah. Even if it's like a small run where they, you know, a couple months where they build up an angle and blow it off somewhere.
Yeah.
Machine guns are fucking awesome.
That's all they need, really. You know, they don't need to inflate their roster. You know, I mean, they got 2 hours a week to fill. They can easily do that, and with the roster they I don't think they can do that with the roster they have right now. But I mean, with some additions, easily you can easily do it.
Yeah, and then the last match of our top three this week, Cody Dustin. Just dude, not even on the technical level were there problems with this match. Positively. You know, they fucked up. He's throwing Dustin back in the ring. Dustin misses the spin. They do just go back to it again. I mean, was this technically a great match? No. But the story was awesome. And the way it unfolded as it went through, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, this wasn't supposed to be technically a good match. You know what I mean? This was supposed to be a brawl.
Did you expect it to be?
No, of course not. But like at the same time, that does not mean that this is not a great match. If you... like. To me, these two went out and just basically had a dusty match. That's essentially what they did. They went out and had an old school American wrestling match, and it worked. I thought it was fantastic. The story they told was great. There was onions being chopped, so like, you know, that's probably why I shed a tear at the end. But I mean,
did you?
Dude, when he was shaky voice, because I'm a sucker for a good emotional story. That's why I like wrestling.
That, especially baked, man, right? I mean, I know it's
100%.
Sober, I can see things and I'd be like, give a fuck about that. But like baked out, I'm just like, I have so much fucking empathy.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%.
If I watch like a sappy movie baked out of my mind, I'm like,
Yeah, no, I'm 100% the same thing. And like, when I look at this, it's like, I'll be the first one to tell you that I don't watch wrestling to see a perfect match, like athletically. That's not what I'm in it for. Sure, that's a great icing on the cake, but I would rather a good story than a story like this than to watch a Kenny Okada match on repeat. You know what I mean? I'd rather watch a Cody Dustin match over and over than the Kenny Okada, because the Kenny Okada is a great storytelling. It's great athleticism, but at the same time, you got Cody and Dustin over here telling the story that you got to be able to relate to. If you can't, then you're a heartless son of a bitch.
Lance, so divine. Lance Levine was in attendance. Also, shout out to Jay Oduna, was at the show.
He was at the show. I had a buddy named Rob too, was at the show. I'll be doing an episode in the Federation actually talking about the live experience with Rob. So
nice. Check that shit out. But yeah, he said he saw people fucking crying all over the place. They come back to Ross and Excalibur are like wiping tears.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like Excalibur's was obviously planted because Excalibur was moving his mask to wipe. And we all know a guy wearing a mask doesn't need to wipe tears because you can't see him.
Well, maybe he was.
Maybe. Maybe he was, but
this is wrestling.
It's 100%. Awesome. And one thing before we leave the top three, I heard Dave Meltzer talking about how like the females at the show reacted so well to the Joshi match. Yeah. Like, apparently that's a lot of what the females that attended that show were talking about, was how good that Joshi match was. So,
dude, everybody loved that. Fucking, yeah. Well, not everybody. I mean,
no, you got some.
All things here, haters aside, but like people in the building who are super over, they loved it.
Yeah. Like somebody said, I seen on Twitter, somebody said to you that AAA puts on better shows. It's like, motherfucker, I've watched Triple Mania 2 years in a row, exactly. And that was abysmal. Like, you can't tell me. There's no way. Like, I didn't want to say anything because it's Twitter. It's no point. You're not going to teach anybody anything. It's no point to even say it. Just let them be stupid. But at the same time, if you're looking at AAA shows and you think that that show is better than this show, automatically, if you can't come up with a proper point and all you can say is like, that show, this show's better. It's like, tell me what.
It's been better for 10 years, he said. Yeah. And dude, yeah, that's exact. I just, as you see, I didn't respond either because fuck off. You know, I mean, like, it's not worth it, dude.
No.
But dude, we watch Triple Mania every year. I've watched Triple Mania for the last like fucking 10 years.
And it is fucking
garbage.
Every
year we come on here and we're like, wow, that was shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no way you can tell me otherwise. And to me, if you didn't like this show, you're not a actual wrestling fan. To me.
Oh, shit.
That's my opinion.
My question while we're here. The question I just have is like, okay, so you don't like WWE, but you don't like this, and you don't like New Japan, and you don't like Ring of Honor, you don't like Impact, you don't like him. What do you like? Maybe you're not a wrestling fan
anymore.
Game
of Thrones is what they like. They don't like wrestling. That's all it is. they're a fan of Home Improvement and shit like that. You know, it's like,
I just don't get it, man. It's like, you know, you can hate this. You can be like, I don't like AEW.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that. But like, when you hate everything, well, what are you really doing? You just, I don't know.
This show had something for everybody. Everybody.
If you couldn't find a match. That was the best thing about it, I thought.
Yeah. If you couldn't find a match on the show.
You know, you didn't just have like a lot of the same shit. You had a Joshi match. You had the women's four-way.
Yeah.
It just kept kind of changing. The only thing it missed was like a real Lucha match. But
yeah, I can see that. But now,
you still got the Lucha Bros.
You did have the Lucha Bros. You had Young Bucks. You had Angelico and Evans. So you did, but like there's going to be a time and place, but they're working with AAA. There's going to be guys coming through and we're going to see more Lucha Libre. So
there is our top three. Let's talk about the rest of the show.
Yeah, we might as well talk about the rest of the show. Let's start with the, what was the Casino Royale Battle Royal or something like that? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
What did you think about that concept?
I mean, I think they just knew that they didn't have time to do a conventional Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, but they wanted to have entrances, you know, sort of. So I thought it worked well because every 3 minutes, four dudes came out and they introduced them kind of separately. So I thought it was a great workaround.
I thought it was fine to watch. You know what I mean? It was. I'd rather see a regular Battle Royal or Royal Rumble in the future. You know what I mean? But I mean, this was good enough. Like, we
so
had
much fun in there, though. Like,
it was,
dude. I mean, first off, the 10 thing, it's almost like that was over. It's weird, right?
Sean Spears, though, doesn't need to look like Ricochet.
I mean, you know,
he could have found a different look, but hey, you know, maybe there's a reason why he never got pushed. Maybe there's not that much creativity there.
How about Brian Pillman Jr.? Just rocking the beautiful Bobby hair.
I thought that was Ricky Morton.
Or Ricky Morton. Yeah, beautiful Bobby, Ricky Morton. Fuck you. Awesome. I was like, who the fuck is that? Because all I could see is the hair. And then, you know, somebody like Pillman Jr. I'm like, fucking, of course Pillman would do that.
Yeah. I thought it was great. The guys they had in this so far, like MJF, Mr. No Legs, Sunny Days, which he looks cool. Sunny Days does.
Sunny Kiss.
No, Sunny Days. Sunny Days is the big fat guy with the yellow face paint. There's two Sunnies. There's Sunny Kiss and Sunny Days. The guy that wears the white jumpsuit, the fat guy.
Okay, I don't know. I'm like, this was there a fact? Wait, do I just
there was with yellow face paint. And then Brandon Cutler, which, I mean, whatever. And Michael Nakazawa. Then there was Brian Pillman Jr. I don't know who Isaiah Cassidy is. Joey Janela, Jimmy Havoc, and Sean Spears. Then you had Billy Gunn, Glacier, Jungle Boy, Ace Romero, and Mark Quinn. Whoever the fuck
that is. What a group that was walking down.
I didn't get to see all of the Battle Royal because I had a lot of trouble watching this show. A lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it was in your neck of the woods. Where did you watch it on Bleacher Report?
I'm prepared to tell you. I watched it on Fight TV.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. I watched it, the Battle Royal. I ended up watching it on watchwrestling.la because YouTube didn't work. Fight TV wouldn't work.
Oh, you ordered it and it didn't work? Yeah.
I didn't order it. But I watched I watched the main show on Fight TV. First when we tried
you're saying Fight, the pre-show you had problems.
Yes, we couldn't watch the pre-show on Fight TV. It would skip every 5 seconds. We had to watch in 240p on Fight TV if we wanted to watch it.
I watched the pre-show on YouTube with no problem. Really? No, I watched it on Fight actually with no problem.
We couldn't watch it on YouTube. It didn't even show up. It was just a graphic on YouTube. And then we ordered it through our pay-per-view provider because it was on our cable box, and that didn't work. It was a black screen. Yeah, that was a black screen the whole time. We kept on going back to it every half an hour. Just go to channel 690 and see. And it was like, nope, nothing.
Well, so I watched the whole show on Fight, and I had zero problem. Like, not even a hiccup, not a buffer, not a drop, nothing. Just bam.
I once the show started, we had no trouble, none.
Yeah.
But luckily, I missed the opening with this is when it cut out for me. When the Young Bucks came out, we had trouble finding a place to watch it up until Glacier came in. Then our feed broke when the Young Bucks came out, because obviously a lot of people were tuning in because the show was about to start. So that's when we went to find it on the cable box. That didn't work. Then we went to Fight, and then that worked. And then by the time that happened, SCU was done their promo.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I had a good experience.
I enjoyed it once I got it working, but it was pretty fucking. I had to smoke a lot of weed once that happened, just to calm myself down.
I thought it was great that we had so many different. Fuck, you had everything in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a true mixed bag. You had Tiny Marco Stunt. You had fat fucking Ace Romero. Oh, you know, you've got...
When he pounced him over the top, buddy.
Dude! Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah,
Sonny Kiss. It was nice to see him on TV again. Haven't seen him for a while since Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Tommy Dreamer was the perfect one to take that fucking spot. ass spot, because it's perfect. Tommy Dreamer is the perfect one for that.
How about like the fact that the crowd was chanting ECW at Dreamer, and then Marco Stunt is flossing during the ECW chant? I'm like, what the fuck? Where are we, dude? Wrestling has gotten weird as fuck, man.
When Marco Stunt flosses, I get very happy. Honestly, I like watching anybody floss if they can do it well enough, because to me, it's fantastic.
Even if it's Carmella and R-Truth?
Dude, that's the only good thing about their fucking gimmick, Jim. Like, have you been watching that?
Hangman Page was the Joker, and I thought that was great.
Orange Cassidy was there, too. So there was technically 22 people in the Battle Royal.
And being the Elite, Cody added somebody this week.
Well, yeah. And I would watch the evening with the Young Bucks.
Orange Cassidy, man.
I love Orange Cassidy.
I've seen him before. I know over Mania weekend I saw some shit with him, but he just comes in, he takes the move with his hands in his pockets. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. I love Kips it. Up with his hands in his pockets.
I fucking love it, man. Like, there's a place for it, and a Battle Royal is the perfect place for it. You know, where you have a guy come in.
What is the deal?
He
deal?
He doesn't care.
Why does he do this?
He doesn't care. That's his deal. He's too cool. That's basically what it is. And so, he's too lazy. He doesn't want to try because, I'm just here because I'm getting paid, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to take my hands in my pockets.
If you didn't see this, he just throws the tiniest little kicks.
Yeah.
It's just the most, you couldn't try less and actually get your leg to move.
Yeah. And then you look in the corner too, you had Jungle Boy who was laying in the corner selling every kick. every time that Orange Cassidy would kick Tommy Dreamer, Jungle Boy would flinch. I thought it was fantastic. That's another guy that I thought came over well in this battle royal, was Jungle Boy. He's green, but they put him in enough stuff to get him over, and apparently the girls loved him.
Yeah, the Mrs. Vicious is watching at this point. I can confirm that the ladies like him.
Could they tell that he was Luke Perry's son?
He looks like his dad. He's cute.
I can see it. That's exactly what she said. Wasn't
it? Yeah, it's weird. It's like somebody's so unlike you, you know, that your woman will find attractive. You're like, really?
You're with me?
I'm like the polar opposite of that, man. What the fuck?
It's the hair.
But Hangman gets the win. I did no problem with that. I thought it was great. And then I was like, oh fuck, I hope Jericho wins later, because I want Hangman versus Jericho way more than I want Hangman Omega.
Yeah, and honestly, if Jericho's the perfect person to hold that title, there's nobody better to hold that title at the beginning.
I'm sorry, and dude, here, okay, perfect time. So there's been some discussion among people who are, I guess they don't understand how AEW fans are okay with Jericho in the main event and title pitcher, but not Lesnar. They fail to see the difference there. And dude, we like Jericho. He's still good, or everyone still wants to see him. Lesnar is not that case. No one wants to see that guy.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Like
that's the difference.
When they were okay, so Money in the Bank happened. We haven't reviewed it or anything.
I don't
want to
even talk about it. Fuck
no,
it. Yeah.
But I'm going to say this: the difference, because everybody was getting on Jericho's case for giving Brock shit, or giving WWE shit for giving Brock the Money in the Bank, because that is a spot for a younger talent who needs a way to get over, an excuse to give him a title shot. Now, you're just going to give Brock Lesnar a title shot against Seth Rollins anyways at Super Showdown. He doesn't need it. You give that to somebody else. That's why Chris Jericho tweeted that. Not
also,
because
he might know something about Money in the Bank, because
it's
he
his
fucking
match.
Came up with it.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, maybe give him a little bit of fucking leeway, but I mean,
that's the difference, man. If you can't see the difference between Lesnar and WWE and Jericho over here, then I don't know what to tell you, man.
They haven't watched wrestling, Jim. Because
Jericho's old too. Like, yeah, he's older than Lesnar, but it's people want to see him. It's fresh. It's fucking dude. Look, he headlines this show against Kenny Omega, arguably the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, he's headlining
taking
in
on
Japan
Okada against arguably the best wrestler in the world. Yeah.
Taking on Okada for the IWGP Championship.
What
are
if
you
he wins?
Fucking serious?
What if he wins? You know what I mean? Can you imagine?
Jesus, dude.
But I imagine that he's going to lose to Okada, and that's going to be an example set for AEW. Like, hey, we're willing to do business with New Japan. It's like, we gave you our number one contender for the title, so you can beat him with Okada. But hey, you know.
Yeah.
How about you throw us some fucking stuff?
If they didn't give a fuck, and they would have the total power there to say, fuck that shit, we're putting Omega over Jericho. We don't give a shit that he has a match with Okada in 2 weeks in Japan.
Yeah, no.
This is what we're doing because Omega's our fucking dude or whatever. So maybe, yeah, that'll be a little bit of a peace offering.
Yeah, and to me, New Japan, especially after this show, New Japan would be silly not to work with AEW. Completely
it's
silly.
Twofold thing. I mean, already it was dumb. It would be dumb of them not to work with them, but especially after that terrible fucking ROH TNA show that they did at Madison Square Garden.
ROH TNA show.
That's what it is.
It's fantastic.
Now, Jim, and that's why I heard that fucking Bully Ray and who else? Mercury are like the main dudes right now.
Yeah.
Which that's why it's a bunch of fucking WWE horse shit.
Yep. 100%. Now, Jim, tell me how over MJF was with you.
Just all the way.
Yeah, all of it. He to me, MJF, you give him 2 years, he could be a complete star. Absolute star. Best heel in the business in a couple of years. I 100% believe.
It's like 22 years old too, by the way.
23, yeah.
What, 23?
Did you ever see him on Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, I did, actually. I did. That's awesome.
It's fantastic. It's like he claims it's not him on Twitter, but that's his character. But there's no way you can't see that that's him. Maxwell Friedman looks exactly like him.
Yes.
Well, if I ever met Maxwell Friedman, I'd ask him, like, can you sing You Are My Sunshine for me, please?
Just fucking tremendous heel.
Yeah. Like his bit with Bret Hart later on was fantastic.
Yeah. Now, if you wanted to talk about, I'm prepared to talk about negatives on this show.
Oh, I am too. I am too, because I do have my negatives. I'm not Sammy that guy Guevara. That's going to just love this thing completely.
And Kip Sabian.
Oh, I've got a negative before that.
Oh, okay.
The librarian bit.
Yeah, I hated it.
I wasn't the only part of that bit I liked was the awkward zoom in on Kylie Rae's face.
I actually forgot what I'm looking at my notes and backstage off meh. I was like, what the fuck is that? I just skipped over. I couldn't remember.
Shh off. I get it.
No, fuck this. Dude, why? I don't. First off, the fact that there's like a librarian, I don't get that. But then there's two it's that shit sucks, dude. I don't know who likes that.
I agree 100%. That, and you know what though? Being the elite, they will. I've heard them in interviews talk about how, hey, we don't get everything right because there's been bits on Being the Elite that everybody hates, and then they try to quickly get rid of them. I think this is one of them.
People liked it, actually. I saw people who liked this. And that's the thing too, kind of with this show, is like there is so much variety. I'm like, you know what, if that's your thing, like I'll take a match of that angle on a show somewhere, you know what I mean? Like I'm not gonna like every single thing.
No.
So, but people did like it. I saw people who were like, oh, that was fucking awesome. I mean, not to me, but
the way I would put it is if they didn't do that zoom in on Kylie Rae's face, it would have been completely lost. But it at least was justified to see Kylie Rae really smiling, like happy smiling, and then as it zoomed, her smile turns into just a nervous smile. It's just like, I'm awkward to be here in front of this. Which she turned out to be one of my favorite people on the show.
Weird thing for 2019, but I am willing to allow people to like whatever they want to like.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Shocker.
Crazy.
But anyways, Kip Sabian and Sammy Guevara.
Dude, I didn't know if these dudes were here to have a wrestling match or if they were here to film a gay porno. Seriously. They are two twink-looking motherfuckers, man.
I will say.
I didn't like this match.
You didn't? I was perfectly fine with it. They're out there not to steal the show, but to give you two guys that, you know, a lot of people haven't seen before, and at least give you a showcase of their characters and what they do. They did a good job at least making Kip look like, you know, he's definitely better than the other Kip that's in this company. You know what I'm talking about? Kip James. Yeah. Kip Sop. And Sammy Guevara is a great heel, in my opinion. The fact that he killed a panda to put it over his head.
I mean, that is pretty good.
But Sammy Guevara is so heelish, and his moveset is so cocky. And like, he's got a reason to be cocky because he is really good, and it works out really well. I think that you give these two time. Kip Sabian's obviously going to be a project, just like Jungle Boy, just like MJF, and maybe they'll get him somewhere. Maybe they won't.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I just didn't think it was the perfect match to, because this is kind of like the, hey, if you're watching the free shit, like, you fucking better order this show. I didn't think those two guys with that was what, you know, what you should have put there. I don't know what they should have put there, but that's not what I would have put there.
Yeah, I would say a tag team match probably would have been better, but I mean, whatever. It's also the first singles match in AEW history. It's actually technically not, because it's Hangman and Pac from a show in the UK. That's technically the first AEW match. But yeah, no, it's the first under an AEW flagship, first AEW singles match. For it to be this, it's a far cry from somebody claiming Brian Pillman Jr. and Juice is on the Liger as the opener for TNT. Have you ever seen that? People's like, yeah. Because the first match in Nitro was Brian Pillman and Juice is on the Liger.
And they wanted, people were saying like, oh, they should do that for their show on TNT. Like, really?
I don't think so, because you got two guys that aren't going to be there next week.
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't, I mean, I don't know. Some people, there seems to be a lot of like, oh, this is WCW. Like, how? I don't know.
The only way it's good wrestling, WCW is good American on wrestling? TNT. And it's on, and it's the second company to WWE. Ooh. That's it. That's the only thing.
They also, no, the after match highlight thing. But I fucking love that. It's one of the things I love from old WCW production.
Oh, yeah. How they just give you the highlight reel?
Dude, that shit's great, man. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's total WCW, man.
Yeah, it is. I had a radio guy here in town comment on one of my things where he wished there was more replays. Well, you don't need replays if you're watching the show. if you want to know what's going on, why don't you pay attention to the show? You don't need a replay to show it to you again. I know you work in radio and you're not used to using your eyes for your work, but hey,
put your fucking phone down and pay attention.
Exactly.
I like a replay of big spots.
Of big spots, and we got replays of big spots, but this is where this highlight reel came at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's perfect, what man. You use that for. They're showing you the big spots after the match so they don't take away from a part in the match.
The SCU one at the end, it was so WCW because the last thing it showed was like the slow motion of all of them flexing, you know, pose from the open. And I was like, holy shit, that's like WCW Saturday Night. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, there's some room for some old WCW bits that they used to do. WCW didn't do it all bad. You know what I mean? Like, just a note, the last WCW pay-per-view we did in the Federation, Fall Brawl, 1996, probably the best WCW show they ever did. And it's nowhere near this show.
I mean, some people were, I saw this guy was arguing, well, he was one way arguing with all my posts. People were saying this show was amazing. It was good at best. The commentary was terrible and this and that. I was like, really? This show was good? I don't know.
First off, I got a problem with anybody saying anything about Excalibur's commentary. Excalibur probably called one of the best nights in pro wrestling in years. Excalibur, I thought, was fantastic. This show would have been fucking abysmal if it wasn't for Excalibur's commentary. I mean, the commentary of this show would have been abysmal.
I thought he did a lot of bad stuff, though.
Excalibur?
Yeah.
You are the only person I've said say something bad about Excalibur since this show started.
Oh, on camera shit? He was weird.
Yeah, but like, you got Excalibur, who's never been on camera on a commentary position before in his life, except for All Out or All In. You know what I mean?
In the match, I didn't have any problem. But like when they would throw to them and like, they'd be standing there, he would just like lose it immediately. Like his delivery of those lines was not good. But no, the commentary was fine.
I agree. But he shouldn't be the guy there for that. That should be Jim Ross.
What do you think about that other guy?
Alex
Marvez. I kick him out of there, man.
See, this is the thing. I've read what Alex Marvez's job is, and his job really won't work until TNT. His job is to be the stats guy because they got that whole points-based system. Because Alex Marvez was an analytics guy. He worked for the NFL. He's worked in radio. His job is to chime in with some of the notes of what's happened in prior matches, who's got win loss records over this. That's his job. So until that becomes a thing, basically Marvez is in there because this is his first ever commentary gig for wrestling. First time he's ever commentated.
So he did a pretty good job, actually, considering.
Considering it's your first time, dude, this is okay. Once you get the TNT, if he doesn't fill out his role there, then it's time to fucking worry. But right now, nah. Yeah, sure, he was nothing. He brought nothing to the table here, but give him time.
A lot of people had all these issues with the commentary. It's like, dude, this is the first time these guys have ever worked together. All three of them. This guy's first time doing it. And then two guys who, as far as I'm aware, Jim Ross has never worked with Excalibur.
No, they've practiced. Excalibur got more out of Jim Ross than anybody prior to, Excalibur got more out of Jim Ross than anybody has since Jerry King Lawler.
And I thought, like, at times in this show, Jim Ross was amazing during Bucks, the Lucha Brothers, also during Cody and Dustin. Like, I thought the JR hit bit. Moments. He hit moments that were just like, oh, yes, dude. Yeah.
100% agree. Yeah,
I thought it was a great performance from Jim Ross, especially a guy who, like, of course, we all loved, but we've shit on pretty hard, what, last year, 2 years ago,
yeah.
when he was fucking up Japan stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's when you look at Jim Ross has something to prove here. He said many times that he wants to prove that he can still be an announcer. Sure, he's not going to be as quick as he once was because he's fucking damn near 70 years old. He's kind of entering the Gordon Solie time of his career. So, like, you know...
I think that this is a pro wrestling story as much as any of the pro wrestling stories that happen in the ring. Like Jim Ross, you see him doing all this media lately, and he does. He's got something to fucking prove.
Yeah.
People didn't like some of the shit that I was doing. They said I don't have it. We were those people. Mm-hmm. And here it is. It's like it's almost like a redemption story from the commentary desk. Holy yeah. shit.
Like I'm not saying like because I agree 100% with you. Once they got into the match, the commentary is fine. But the transitions in between were weak as hell. And you can tell, too, like there was obviously some kind of disconnect from when they'd come from the back or a video package to the commentary desk, because there would be that 3 to 5 second gap of silence.
I don't know if they don't hear them or what they did.
They weren't getting counted down properly, because like technically there should be somebody at the commentary desk counting them down, telling them when the video is coming to them. And then the other problem I had, the only person that looked at the camera the entire time was Alex Marvez. Everybody else was looking below the camera. I thought that was a little bush league, but like there's going to be problems as the first production of the AEW brand. Yeah. There's going to be some kinks to work out.
If the only kinks
that you got to work out is a little bit of production, the camera work missing some things and the announcing. Yeah. Dude,
they're not all going to get together, and they probably already are today, all get together and watch this and go through it with a fine tooth comb, I think you're mistaken.
Yeah. They will be, of course, because like there was some spots that got missed. Sammy Guevara's dive to the outside, that got completely missed on the Kip Sabin. They got it with the replay.
Right?
Yes, they got it with the replay. And then Kenny Omega spitting water into the camera that Chris Jericho had.
That was a shit show.
Yeah, they cut just before the water hit. So that was a little bit annoying.
And then both cameras had water on them for fucking like a minute while the dudes were trying to wipe it off. Did you see when I tweeted out,
anybody want a towel?
Yeah. What else we got, man? Let's keep moving. We
could skip the Young Bucks.
Do you know who Sadie Gibbs is? They showed a vignette for her.
She's a UK wrestler. She's really young. But I feel like it was a great way to showcase her for sure. Just a little video package. Yeah, 100%.
Never underestimate the power of a good vignette.
Oh man, come on! You remember those Taz vignettes?
And it was just show
that logo where it was just like boom, 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 boom. I fucking thought that was so dope. I had no idea who Taz was at the time. I had one ECW tape. It was ECW Wrestlepalooza '97.
Jesus.
And in no way, shape, or form did I realize that was Taz coming in.
It sounds cliche, but people I know who listen to this show can verify. We watched ECW Barely Legally, first ECW show on the night it happened.
Really?
On pay-per-view, yeah. Because my buddy's dad was a hardcore wrestling fan, and so were we. And he ordered that ECW show, and we watched Barely Legal. Yeah.
Fucking A.
I didn't know of ECW before that. I'm not gonna act like I did. But yeah.
No, so. I had always heard about ECW, and then I found a ECW Wrestlepalooza in 97. And there was another one too, but mom would only let me buy one. I found it in a bin for $5 in Walmart.
As much as we look back at ECW Barely Legal as you know, this like huge moment in wrestling history, dude, I feel like this was a moment in wrestling history as well.
Without a doubt.
A big moment.
Without a doubt. If this takes off, this is going to be this is going to be known as the flag bearer show. This is what happened. This is what kicked it all off.
Yeah. Not everyone's going to like this, but dude, it's just for people who want this kind of shit. People who like wrestling, but hate WWE. And like here's something, man. It's interesting. It's good. I don't know why people hate everything.
No, and for me too. Like I said, this had so much. The reason why I like this show, not because I like the Young Bucks, not because I like Cody or Kenny Omega. I like this show because there was such a wide variety of everything. Every match was different. The one match was not the same as the next. Everything had a different style. That's not for you.
Another thing I didn't like on this show, the whole Cody and Brandy showing up backstage in a vehicle thing. It's like, so WWE. I hate the fucking vehicle shows up. Somebody that gets out thing.
That was a playoff of something from Being the Elite. I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
But because that was each one of those, because they were all coming from somewhere else, had a piece of a bit from a Being the Elite, because they even showed the Being the Elite music video. So it's kind of
a mini Being the Elite.
Well, that's only because it's the pre-show, though. It's just a mini Being the Elite there. To me, this was probably one of the more telltale signs. In my opinion, the most important shot other than wrestling was this. Because the camera work and the production quality to this was better than anything I had ever seen on any wrestling show. How they had the background blurred, they had it very cinematic, the lighting was perfect. I thought that the background segments, if this is what they do at background segments, I love it.
So you defeated OWE, in a fucking, I thought it was super fun. It was crazy. It had a lot of sloppy shit, but it was like they tried everything, so fuck it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I thought T-Hawk looked really well. T-Hawk has a lot of fire. He has a lot of energy. Lindemann has only been working for something like 3 to 4 years. He's to me, I looked at him and was like, oh, he's a Japanese Tyler Bate. You know what I mean?
Did you notice that Shima was kind of the worst dude on the team?
Well, he's also one of the oldest. Like, he's what, 40-something?
I expected him to be the best one, being the oldest guy, and he really was.
Yeah.
If there was somebody who was the shits in this, it was kind of him.
I will agree 100%. I'm wondering, he's going to have a match against Kenny Omega at the Fighter Fest. See what that turns out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, this is the second time I've seen these guys actually wrestle somewhere online. Oh, on the OWE fucking YouTube, they had released a match from China with these guys, SCU versus,
I believe, these same three people. I did see that. I did see that. It might have been the same three people, yeah. I thought this match was fun. SCU had a good promo at the beginning. I will say it did a decent job at getting the crowd going. Because SCU's over. Obviously, what, Stronghearts? Is that what their name was?
Yeah, the Stronghearts.
They seemed, as the night went on, got a little bit more over. So, I mean, I thought L. Lindemann was fantastic. He was my favorite one out of the bunch. Just how strong he was.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that people didn't know that ended up getting over in the end, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But
I had Allie join commentary for no reason. I was like, God damn it, four people in commentary, WWE style shit.
But it wasn't overcoming, I didn't think. I didn't think you had too many people talking to another. I thought Allie was decent on commentary. She at least showed emotion. You know what I mean? Like, when something would happen, you would hear it in her voice, that like her voice would change. It's a far cry for Renee Young and how monotone she is. Imagine how awkward it's going to be for Renee Young going to work on Monday.
Dude, right? Yeah. I was wondering, like, how can they punish her? Maybe they're going to give her like a really terrible, extra terrible jacket to wear or something. Or they're going to like give her really shitty makeup.
Triple H's keep an face eye out on it. Instead of having Dean Ambrose's face on the back of the jacket, it's going to Triple H.
Yeah, keep an eye out for her to have like fucked up makeup or that doesn't intentionally try to trip her up on commentary or something. Seriously.
Same thing with Natty too. For Brett being there. I bet you.
Oh fuck.
And anybody that tweeted about All Elite Wrestling, because there was a lot of WWE wrestlers that tweeted about it.
Fuck yeah, there were. They didn't use the hashtag, but goddamn, they were talking about it.
And then Ian, what was the guy, the announcer on WWE that was claiming that the Usos are better than anything on AEW, and he quickly deleted it.
What did he say?
The announcer for SmackDown, I believe. I can't remember his
face
name.
Facefuck Tom?
No, like the ring announcer.
Well, who knows who that is? I don't know how the fuck that is.
I think it was him. He mentioned something. Just that, you know, the Usos are the best tag team in the world. Nothing these guys are going to do or going to come close to what the Usos are doing or something like that. And really? I guess he took enough shit that he had to delete the tweet.
Fucking really?
Yeah.
So how did Mark think that if I saw it?
It didn't last Smiley, very long.
Smiley, Kylie Rae, Nyla Rose, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. The fuck out. Like, that girl is just like, she's hot. She's a pro wrestler. She's a fucking successful dentist. Like, what? This chick's got it all.
She has her own practice gym.
Yeah.
So she's not just a dentist. She's a very wealthy dentist.
Not a bad idea to have a dentist on the payroll.
You're goddamn right. You're goddamn right. And I do like how, like, instead of calling her a dentist, like Isaac Yankum, they call her DMD because she's a real dentist. I thought it was good, too, using, like, her entrance jacket. It's kind of a lab coat, but it's a fancy lab coat.
Yeah, but Black Stephanie came out.
Black Stephanie. See, now, I know you're going to shit on this, but this is half of the reason why Awesome Kong got a great pop, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I was prepared to shit on it, but then it swerved the other way, and I was like, okay.
Because that's exactly
why
was
she
at
ringside the whole time. I didn't like that.
I'm assuming she's Awesome Kong's mouthpiece. I assume
Awesome Kong's going to be around for more than this.
Maybe. I mean, like, for the time being, where they only have three shows until television.
She seemed to injure her leg immediately.
Well, I mean, the girl hasn't wrestled in years, right? She hasn't wrestled since the Netflix show was filmed. So, I mean, give her some time. She looked like she was in decent shape, decent Awesome Kong shape anyways. She could have done everything wrong, and she's still better than Nyla Rose. Like, there's part of me that didn't want, because, like, I didn't do it on Twitter because I know exactly what's going to happen. If I said anything bad about Nyla Rose, I would be called a homophobe or some kind of dirtbag. But Nyla Rose was the worst wrestler on this show. And it's a shame that you're taking a spot away from a female competitor that could easily do better just because this girl's transgender. That's all this is. It's got to be. It can't be.
This is a reminder, at the Federation.
Yes,
on
at
Twitter.
The Federation.
Not at Suplex anymore.
Come at me, because that's what it seems like, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't
didn't stand out to me as her being bad or anything. She didn't stand out to me at all. I just kind of, like, I didn't see anything that I was like, wow, that's fucking terrible, but maybe I wasn't paying enough attention.
I was not a fan of anything she did. Nothing. And I'm calling her she. I agree. That's everybody good. Should
right
be included.
Pronoun.
I got the right
you.
Pronoun. Yeah. Like, I'm not What's trying to be down. Mine's Zim. But I'm not trying to be down on every, but, like, this show does have some faults. And if you're going to ignore the worst wrestler on the show, then, well, I mean,
I'm Jim. I'm a cis hetero male.
I'm a cis hetero male too.
That's my pronoun.
Cis white hetero male.
White. No. Oh yeah. Cis white. The fucking worst.
Yeah,
AKA the worst.
Yeah. But you know,
I actually like that Nyla Rose, you know, just today, like yesterday afternoon, I knew that I was like, if I'm gonna watch wrestling online, I'm gonna have to, like, please my chick. So I took her out. We went to this, I don't know if you're fans of me on Facebook, you saw the pictures.
I did see the pictures. I also see the pictures, like, that she posted where she's just like, here's a, even though I got no pictures of my boyfriend, this is where he brought me.
I don't like pictures being taken of me.
I'm 100%. I 100% agree. I hate pictures.
He had a selfie in there. Anyway, we went out to this, like, historic. It's like historic Native American ruins and museums and, like, these cavalry fucking things. And I thought it was funny. I posted the pictures, and Shaheen from THT, he's like, he got my personal page, no less. He's like, how many edibles deep are you?
I've seen that.
Fuck, man. Shout out Shaheen.
I didn't realize that's who it is. That's who it was, Shaheen.
He's the man. But yeah, anyway, on the way back from this, I saw a lot of Native American shit. Mrs. Vicious is a Native American. So I was like, fuck, man, there's no, like, Native American wrestler who, like, not only are they actually Native American, but they, like, lean into it a little bit, you know? Like, there's
you
no
got Nyla
fucking
Rose.
None of that. Got Nyla Rose. So I was like, I was stoked. I was like, shit, that's cool.
I will say, it's once she, like, when she comes out, it's fantastic. Like, her presence is there. But there's a lot of in-ring work to be done, in my opinion. Yeah. A lot of in-ring work to be done.
It would work. I mean, this whole thing would work a little better if it was like a smaller dude. You know, like if Sammy Guevara did this.
Yeah. But now,
she is big, man. You know,
this is going to sound bad, Jim. This is going to sound horrible. But I mentioned this to Travis. I was like, how do you make a better monster heel woman? You give a dude a sex change and he beats them all up. That it's the biggest monster heel in the fucking world.
Yeah.
If you think about it in that context, but at the same time, the face off
between her and Awesome Kong too.
I agree. And that might've been half the reason why she didn't look very good, because Awesome Kong hasn't worked for a long time. And there's a part of me that wanted to reserve my judgment because of that. But at the same time, there's gotta be something you talk about bad in the show. You can't just fucking jerk it off all night long.
Well, we've talked about bad shit. I know. I think Awesome Kong was the worst work of this, or Aja Kong, maybe. One of the Kongs.
There's two Kongs, the two Sunnies.
Yeah. Moving along.
What do you think? I want to know what you thought of Kylie Rae, because I thought she was one of the better workers of the night. That surprised me. I thought she was really good.
So this week, Cody unleashed the fucking WWE army, the universe went after him because he made a little remark about Bayley, sort of. And I was like, you know, she gets a lot of shit for being the Bayley thing, but I'm like, I kind of see it, but I don't. But we were watching it, and Mrs. Vicious like said, "Quote: Is this their Bayley or what?" Like, wow. So everyone, even people who don't watch wrestling that much, really see. They see it that way.
They see it that way, but at the same time, I think she does Bayley better than Bayley. She's more likable. Well, she looks funner. She's so bubbly. Her whole ring entrance is fun.
Yeah, their argument he had was like, she is that. She's not playing that.
Yeah. 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 And that got everybody like, why are you saying shit? It's like,
dude, people were mad.
They were. And it's like, why are you so upset about this? Like, back when I was a kid, Iron Sheik was saying he wanted to break Hulk Hogan's back and make him humble and fuck him in the ass. Like, where was the outcry then? Everybody loved it.
And well, that now, was way after the fact.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, when I was growing up, that's what I was hearing. You know, in shoot interviews. Now shoot interviews are nothing like they used to be.
You know, it's like, I was honest too. Cody, man, a lot of people hate that guy. Like, as a dude, hate him, and. I watched a lot of shit with him this week. I fucking like the guy, man. I think he's fucking funny. He's entertaining. Yeah. Seems like a dude you want to hang out with. Now, maybe is that all the work? I don't know. If it is, he's the best wrestler of all time. Hey, okay, I don't know.
Hulk Hogan drew millions and millions and millions of dollars in this business. Horrible human being. You know what I mean? So, like, there's so many horrible human beings out there that we watch day in and day out. Like, I don't know, any actor. Any TV star, people still watch and flock to those movies. Doesn't matter if you're a horrible human being, if you're a shitty person. Doesn't matter if you're a great person. If your on-screen persona is cool and you're not hurting nobody outside of it, fuck it, who cares? I don't give a fuck if Cody's a dickhead. I don't give a fuck if he's nice. All I can say is I went to Edmonton to a PWA show, and I had tickets waiting for me in some room or something. And so I was waiting to get my ticket, and I didn't realize they brought me into the meet and greet room with Cody. And I was I was just waiting for my ticket, and I turn around and I just see Cody, and I was like, holy fuck, he's huge in real life. Right? He's like, he's a big fucking dude. And just like, he looked at me, like all the people were in the line. He looked at me, he was like, hey, how you doing? I was like, I'm good. I'm taller. Nice to meet you. Right. And like, I wasn't even in the line for the meet and greet. And he shook my hand anyways. And I went on.
They kind of, this is a decent time to talk about those dudes. Like, all of them, they rub some people the wrong way. And I totally get it. Mm-hmm. Like, trust me, like when at the end of that Bucks and Cody thing where someone like, why would you ask about it? Like, what a fucking dick that was. Anyway, ask like the Bucks about religion. And like, you know, Matt's talking about like, oh, perfect Sunday for me, you know, just like reading the Bible with my kids and stuff. I'm like, that's fucking random. I don't know. I thought it was weird. doesn't make me hate him or anything, but like, it's just like,
you know what though, what weird. They did to me, I thought what they said there was a great thing to say, because somebody asked him, was a great save, because they're like, you know, blah blah blah, asking about his religion. He's like, you know, I'm not the kind of guy to really go to church every Sunday. I feel like, you know, sitting at home with my kids and reading some Bible verses, doing some Bible studies, that's a perfect Sunday. I was like, you know what, man,
you can read the Bible, you can read the Quran, you can read whatever the fucking book you want, as long as you're like decent people and raising decent people, which I feel like those cats definitely are, right?
Oh,
super
more
positive,
likely.
Nice people, raising fucking good people. So yeah. I'm fine with whatever book you read, or if you like me and don't read any book at fucking all. So.
And I will say, as a dog person, I know you hate dogs, Jim.
I don't hate dogs.
Yeah, I mean, compared to me, you hate dogs. but I love dogs. But to me, the way a dog acts tells me about the owner. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can have shitty dog owners, and then you also have shitty dogs. You have good dog owners, you have good dogs. I don't know many dogs that could walk out to a ring with 11,000 people there and just be cool with it. That's a good fucking dog. So therefore, whoever's trained that dog has done a good fucking job at it.
Also, dude, in this fucking company, like, how crazy is it? Like Cody Rhodes got, not only did he get himself over, like, huge, he's on the show, he was like Hulk fucking Hogan. He got his dog over, dude. People buy shirts with his dog on it.
When his truck pulled up, and the window screwed down, it was Pharaoh. I was fucking loved it. I thought that was so fucking good. So fucking good. Like, that's why I'm saying, that's why I like the Cody bit with the truck, because it was all Pharaoh for me. You know what I mean? Like, that saved it. Saved it
Britt
so much.
Britt Baker pins Kylie Rae here, which I think Britt Baker, I totally see the upside. I mean, I think like of all these tricks, she's probably where I would go. I'd probably focus around her.
Yeah.
And Kylie Rae too, though.
Kylie Rae would be the great babyface chase, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's the girl that's got to chase that title for a year because she can't get it because she's too nice and she's naive. Britt Baker, she's a beautiful woman. Sexy as all hell. And she's a good worker.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a fucking ton of upside on that. We didn't talk about Best Friends versus Angelico and Jack Evans.
Yeah. No, and it was fantastic.
Spots and spots.
Everywhere.
More spots than a Dalmatian, son.
I thought the fact that I get to see Jack Evans on an American mainstream pay-per-view, that was, to me, was one of my favorite parts of the night, because growing up and watching Jack Evans from ROH on, like starting watching Jack Evans in like 2003, 2004, I didn't start with Jack Evans, but you know, Wrestling Society X and all that bullshit, seeing Jack Evans all throughout my whole life and the different incarnations of him. Jason Kiesler fucking messaged me on Twitter and was like, the fucking Dragon Slayer. It's like, yes, the Dragon Slayer.
It's fucking great, man. And those two as a take, like, I always thought, like, he's gonna go down as this dude that only the hardcores know, one of those guys that's like, man, he's so good and so many people won't know who he is, but now maybe that'll change, man.
At least there'll be something, you know.
He did fucking break dancing in the ring. Awesome.
He's amazing. He moonsaulted off of Angelico's shoulders.
Yeah,
so like, that guy's a goddamn champ.
I thought this match was just fucking great, man. I honorable mention for the top three.
It is.
Also, here, somebody was Viva La JD was very adamant about an honorable mention for Jimmy Havoc versus fucking Robinson from SSS 60.
Wrong week to give an honorable mention.
He was very adamant about it, and I felt like, you know, I owe it to put it out there. So
That's fair. Wrong week for it. We had so much Best of Super Juniors and Double or Nothing that, to me, I wouldn't even have time to even look at it just because of the Best of Super Juniors. I didn't get to see all the Best of Super Juniors. So
No. But yeah, this match was fucking tremendous. And at the end, they hug and shit, which is awesome.
Did you notice the Okada Rainmaker zoom out for the hug?
Yes.
Did you see the tweet?
Trent, he did say something.
Trent tweeted that this is for you, Kazu. And then Okada replies, "Thank you, big boy Trent." And Trent replied, "Wow."
Yeah, they did it. I noticed that too. I was like, the New Japan Zoom.
They did it at All In for him too, I believe. But to me, I've got a great infatuation for the Best Friends because I watch their show on High Spots Network every time there's a new episode.
Yeah,
Best Friends with Chuck and Trent. And to me, if you want to know what that tag team's all about, you got to watch every one of those episodes, because in that match, there are callbacks to every one of those episodes. Like, there is an episode with Angelico and Jack Evans. And then there's also Chucky T's always talking about how he loves the Falcon Arrow. And then he does a Falcon Arrow. And what he always says, "I'm best friends with Chuck and Trent," is nobody kicks out of a Falcon Arrow. And what did he say after he fucking had his match? Nobody kicks out of a Falcon Arrow. I fucking love Chuck. And the fact that I've been downloading Chucky T videos on Kazaa and LimeWire since I was a kid is amazing.
Little story things for just the fucking most hardcore people. Little references and just it's dude, fan service, man, all
it
the
is.
Way through.
It is. The show is complete fan service.
How many people you think got that? I didn't get that because I didn't know about that shit.
Me and my brother got it because me and my brother are avid watchers.
That was for like such a small amount of people, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, like Jack Evans opened my mind on how to sleep on a plane if you're a skinny guy. Jack Evans sleeps on his plane, kneeled down into the seat from the floor. Because he's so fucking tiny.
After the match, the lights go out. They come back on. The Super Smash Bros, who I'm surprised a lot of people didn't know who these guys are.
Yeah, when they got the chant, "Who are you?" I was like, guys, this is Super Smash Bros. Like, how did you not know who these guys are?
But I saw a lot of people who know a fuckload about wrestling who didn't know who these guys were.
I bet you B-Rad knew.
Well, of course, B-Rad knew.
But you know what, though?
B-Rad probably knows who the Minions were.
I will say this. I know, right? Super Smash Bros. Haven't been able to work in the States for years because of visa issues. Yeah. That could be it. Obviously, I figured that they were going to get swooped up at some point in time because the Young Bucks do say that their best match they ever had was against the Smash Brothers. Now, nobody mentioned who they were, and I'm pretty sure I know why.
Well, they're going to have a name change for sure.
Exactly. They can't be called the Super Smash Bros.
And the people, people were trying to make a point of, the crowd didn't know who they were. Perfect, dude. Because commentary didn't know who they were either. Which, you know, if it was like shitty wrestling, it was like WCW or TNA, that they would have been like, "Oh my God, it's whatever their new name is." You know,
that's Kurt Hennig. That's Mr. Perfect.
So, you know what I'm saying? It was like they handled it perfectly. They're going to change their name. I wish they'd have changed the gimmick a little bit because, like, to me, they never fit together as a tag team. And I really like my tag teams to, like, be a cohesive thing.
I get you. That's why I brought up how Penta and Phoenix wore the same color scheme because I know you love that.
Like, what does Player Uno wear? Like, what does his face look like? Is he a burn victim or something? Like, what? Can they both wear a mask or not? You know, or one, like, why was one wearing a mask and one paints his face? I don't get it.
No, I get you. I get you 100%.
But they are a fucking great tag team.
They are. I really like the gimmick with the Minions and how they created a throne for him to sit in.
The lights go out again. They come back and there's like, I don't know, 7-8 Minions.
Well, they're Super Smash Bros. They are video game villains is essentially what they are. And so what do video game villains have? Minions. Like Bowser has Goombas. These are their Goombas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially what these guys are. And, like, I thought it was fantastic.
Do you think they'll change their name to the Super Smash Experience?
The Goomba Brothers?
The Goomba Experience? So, if you're not familiar with those guys, they're fucking great. And you'll see. If you don't know, you'll soon know. Joshi tag, we did. Oh, this is where they, after that Joshi match, that's where they lost complete track of where they were. I was just like, by God, I don't know where we are.
By God, I'm lost.
And that other dude, or whatever the fuck his name is, he saved the day right there.
He did. He did. See, so he's not all bad. He got that show back on track.
He was a fucking hero there. Cody Dustin, we talked about.
Let's talk about Cody's entrance in the throne. before we go anywhere. And then the absolute blade job that Dustin did. Because we didn't really talk much about the match, but how sickening was it to see all that blood? I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and because that Fed is pro as fuck, they changed it quick during a fucking backstage video.
Yes, they needed to. You can't have fucking two more matches going on in that bloodbath.
That was awesome that they changed it. Very, very well done.
Of course. What about the entrance?
Dude. First off, when they first showed the thing, the first thing I thought was like, is Triple H going to be wrestling here? Or like almost ready to mock Cody, like for like, oh my God, he is Triple H now if he fucking is dumb enough to do this stupid thing. But then the walks, you know, I thought it was bad. I didn't like it.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was cringy for me.
To me, you can look at it cringy, and I can see why somebody could think it was cringy. But now
the smoke and shit, it's been one thing. I feel like he just went up and destroyed it, like smashed it repeatedly into bits, you know, like that would have been cool, but like he hits it in the smoke, like
Well, like, sure, the theatrics mightn't have been the greatest thing, but it's not about him breaking a throne. If all you got from it is him breaking a throne, then you lost it, you know what I mean? It's lost on you what was, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Because like, it's also not about the throne breaking. It's the message behind the throne breaking.
Well, I know. I also thought, just a little note, I would have fucking had the, when he appeared, he'd have been holding the sledgehammer already and then went over and did. I didn't know, like they walked down to the ring, get it, come back up to do it. I don't know.
Yeah. But now, mind you, too, it's all nuances that Triple H does. The way he was holding the sledgehammer, everything was all the way Triple H would do it.
Yeah. And like, what do you think about it, man? Give me your
To me, if you want to just fly coast by, not ruffle any feathers, you shouldn't do it. But at the same time, you're going to be on TNT, right? There's no way AEW can't benefit from doing this type of thing because they are the smaller company. Like they're punching up, right? So basically what they're trying to do, they're trying to bait WWE into this.
Right? Oh, they baited their fans for sure already. Yeah.
So like they're hoping that WWE is going to retaliate in some way. And what does that do? Helps AEW, makes WWE look bad. Yeah. It's one of those things where, and another thing too, I'm sure that this should lead into not a boom period, but at least more prosperity for wrestling, more money because of competition. And I'm sure that everybody knows this. Cody knows this. Triple H knows this. Vince probably used to know it, but he's too old to remember it. But at the same time, man, to me, that there is just like a, hey, let's get this started. Let's fucking go to war. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I liked it in the sense of, you know, of course, fuck Paul and fuck WWE. So, like, I can get behind it there. Crowd loved it. You know, whatever.
I will say, though, the effects to it was not the greatest thing. Like, if they would have left the smoke out, it would have looked a lot better. But at the same time, it's kind of what Triple H would do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool. Yeah, I mean, cringy, but, you know, I get the point of it. Yeah. I thought that was every bullshit, you know, little like wannabe dirt sheet on Twitter. What do they have? What is their story? Oh, Cody Rhodes did this.
Yeah. You know, it's because
they're all WWE
talking.
Fans. It's the Bayley thing was the same thing. It's great. They make a little joke on her way. What do they do? You just rely on all the little WWE fucking weirdos to go.
Well, yeah, because they're not actual news sites. They get all their word from Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller. And then
but they hate them. They hate those guys.
They hate those guys, but they do all their legwork. They don't have a source to say. Yeah, none. Yeah.
They do the legwork. They do the arm work.
Back work.
The hand work.
They'll just take little things and make clickbait headlines. That's all it is. That's all these websites are. It's just clickbait garbage. I don't frequent any of them. Like, as soon as I see somebody Slice Wrestling is actually a gimmick account. They're not. They don't even try to be real. Like, they've come out and said it.
No, that's Sliced Wrestling is like a parody. Sliced Wrestling.
I didn't know that.
No, slice wrestling is somebody who's like trying to be fucking legit.
Oh, I thought that they, I thought that they just had two accounts. Honestly.
No, that's the deal.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's like, I got fooled by that WWE Universe one time too. When
oh, yeah.
I'm really stoned sometimes. I just don't read stuff fully. And I just get upset and I say something. But anyways, that aside,
yeah.
But like, sliced wrestling, Wrestling Inc. I don't listen to, because Wrestling Inc. reported that Kenny Omega worked with a broken neck last night. Like, are you fucking retarded? Yeah. They said they had a video of what Cody was saying after the match. And he literally says Cody worked half of that match, or Kenny worked half of that match with a broken nose. And they, in their headline, Kenny works with a broken neck. And it's like, you guys are fucking horrible. You can't even listen to a video, let alone do anything else right. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'll listen to What Culture before I'll listen to any of those cocksuckers, because at least the What Culture guys are humorous.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That was moving past the Dustin and Cody.
And then we had the tag match, which we already talked about.
Oh, you had Bret Hart came out that whole segment.
Yeah, Bret Hart did come out.
Dude, how fucking heavy is that belt?
That belt looks like it's heavy as fuck.
At the end, Hart just hands it off. He's like, he gets in the ring, he hands it off to the fucking announcer. He's like, you fucking hold this thing.
Well, Jesus Christ, man. Like, do I have to get Stu Hart to come here and tell you how weak his wrists are? No,
like... We all know he's got weak wrists.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Come on, guys. My son Brett. He's had many surgeries on his wrist because, you know, in the dungeon we didn't have ropes, so he couldn't learn how to use the rope. So when he went and started wrestling, he hurt his wrist really hard. I just thought he was beating off too much in the dungeon, but you know, I thought he was watching me stretching out boys, and then he was stretching his meat. But I guess he didn't jerk off enough, and his wrist got really weak. But bye, guys. Toodaloo.
Fuck. MJF fakes the jump in the ring. That's great.
I thought MJF, to me, if Vince sees this show, the one person he wishes he had, I think, is MJF.
Oh yeah, definitely there. Belt looks fucking great.
Yeah,
good looking belt for that change.
It's a mix between the IWGP Championship, ROH TV title, and the Impact belt, really, because it's got that big silver AEW logo in the middle. Kind of reminds me of the big silver Impact logo. Mm-hmm. But they took a lot of great designs from other belts, and they made it into one super belt. I like how your title for your main title is huge. It should be.
Yeah.
The biggest prize of the company should be huge.
Yeah, it looks expensive. Looks heavy as fuck, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, if I was to have a replica title, I wouldn't mind having that one, but I don't have a replica title. And IWGP heavyweight title would come first.
And if you did have one, it would hang on your wall. You wouldn't take
it
with you.
I wouldn't wear it. First off, I'm too fat to wear a fucking belt. I'd be like Yokozuna. I just put it over my shoulder, but then that gets heavy. And so it would just go on my wall.
Yeah. And then you had Jericho, Omega.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which, you know, I don't know. I thought it was fine.
It was fine.
Like, great.
No, it wasn't blow away.
It didn't need to be. It didn't need to be some crazy work rate match. You've seen so much work rate on the show. I was good with the story of it.
Yeah.
Jericho wins, you know, which will set up. We got to have a third Omega versus Jericho match.
Yes,
now.
And this will come when Jericho has the title. Probably at. Mm. I don't know if it'll come at all. I don't know. We don't even know when they're going to have a title match. For the title, so you can't really claim that they're going to have a match at All Out. I would imagine that All Out you do Kenny Omega and Dean Ambrose, honestly.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think you got Omega Ambrose set up. Ambrose, stop that shit.
Oh, Moxley. Yeah, Moxley. It's even a better name.
But yeah, you know, Hangman Jericho. Jericho wins, first champion. Eventually, you work around to Omega coming back.
I think that's your logical place, your logical story to tell, 100%.
But I thought the match was good, and then of course at the end, Scott Hall style out of the crowd. John yep. Moxley. I'm just going to say it, dude. I had goosebumps. I fucking legit did.
I did. To me, it was the perfect way to end that show. Because if you think about it, he didn't have his 90-day no compete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, that's something to be said about leaving the WWE on good terms. Cause without a doubt, like it was, hey, we want to extend your contract to after WrestleMania to keep you around. And I was like, okay, well, I want my no compete gone. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, that's obviously how it had to work. Cause there's no way that they would just be like, yeah, no, John Moxley, you don't need a no compete. You're not going to go to AEW. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe so, you only have that no compete if you're fired. Maybe if your contract
no.
runs.
No, that's not how it works at all. No. Cause like, that's what everybody else has had to do. Even when your contract runs out, you still got that third, that at least maybe I thought it was a 90 day. Maybe if your contract runs out, it's only a 30 day. I don't know, but
there you go. I thought it was great. Like somebody I saw that on Twitter, they're like, oh, I just wish they'd have kept it under wraps better.
What?
Dude, I remember we talked about it and earlier in the show, I thought about it, but at this point it was not even in my mind.
No.
And I feel like everybody kind of, a lot of people felt that way too. Like I wasn't even in the back of my mind. So it was fucking awesome.
Yeah. I just thought they were doing a nod to New Japan, you know, the winner of the main event sends you home. Yeah. That's what I thought they were doing. And when John Moxley came out through the crowd, I thought it was a great pop. The crowd went fantastically insane.
Dude. And this is, I already like that little video already. Like they already made him better than he's ever been.
Yeah.
This is what people liked about John Moxley. This is what they always wanted in the Dean Ambrose character, was just an ass kicking motherfucker. Yeah. That's all they want.
That's all they wanted. They wanted a unhinged, not to quote Dean Ambrose, you know what I mean? But like they wanted a guy that's a little bit stir crazy, a little bit off, come in and just beat people's asses. And you could see him in the ring. Just you could tell by his mannerisms and everything that he was doing that, you know, this is what he wants to do. You know, this character and having less reins on his character, no pun intended. I didn't even think about it. I was just, it just looked like he was having a really good time. And like, especially to him being able to flip off the crowd. He hasn't been able to do that for years.
See that photo that Cody should use it for our fucking episode picture.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Cody and Moxley both fucking give middle it a finger.
Yeah.
Tremendous. I don't know if that's directed at anyone, but I'm just going to view that it is.
It was the caption that I seen, I think, from Cody's Twitter was here's to the last, or here's to the generation before us, or something like that. Is what it said. So
fucking awesome. I saw Dustin. You could tell he enjoyed the shit out of his experience and everything. Oh, yeah. He said it was like the best night of his life.
Of course, because this is the first time that he's gotten that kind of push. You know what I mean? Like he's never been in WWE anywhere close to any kind of upper mid card or any kind of prominency. He was always the stuttering buffoon. Or like right now, me and Travis just recorded a Patreon bonus called Raw Championship Friday. It's when they announced Fake Diesel and Fake Razor Ramon for coming back. And they're talking. Goldust has a match against Shawn Michaels for the WWF Championship on that show, and the show opens up with them literally saying, "Hey, what's going to happen to the WWF if a homosexual flamboyant guy gets the title? It's going to ruin the company." And I was like, this is what Dustin has been to this company all along. Just nothing.
Yeah, he did fucking really finally get, you know, to be in front of fans who appreciate this shit and can actually. Yeah.
And Cody was saying that Cody had mentioned that he was very excited for Dustin to actually wrestle in front of these fans. Because he's never been able to wrestle in front of these fans.
Yeah, it's good shit, man. If he'd have finished out his time there, it would have been a bullshit thing. He would have never done anything. he'd have just kind of disappeared and that'd have been the end. So yeah. I love him. And to the end of that, it's, you know, I don't need a partner. I don't need a friend.
Oh, I need my older brother.
Like, come on, dude.
Honoring back, because that's obviously a nod back to when Dusty wanted Dustin in WCW, when Dusty cut that promo on Dustin trying to get him to come back to him. Oh, dude, just the emotion in their voice and just seeing two grown men cry just made me sad, made me happy. I was confused. I didn't know what to feel, obviously, because I was sad and happy, apparently.
Yeah, hell of a show. I loved it. And, you know, Moxley fucking throws Omega around, throws him off the chips through the stage. We get the fucking AEW, you know, banner on the screen with Moxley just looking like a fucking animal.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was absolutely fantastic.
But yeah. This show's been long as fuck.
We're almost pushing 2 hours already.
Yeah. I don't know. So that's it. No, I don't know.
We're done. Can we take
had nothing shit planned, but like I feel good. I feel like, you know what? Fuck it. There's no news. Dean Malenko fucking is a coach there now and an agent.
Yeah, the WWE 24/7 title was created by the USA Network to boost ratings. Good injuries to Rey Mysterio, Ruby Riott.
I could sit here and tell you how stupid the 24/7 belt is, but you know,
you don't need us to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm good, actually. I feel good just, you know, where it's at. I had a Mark tank, but why read dumbass comments about, you know, people hating on this AEW show? Yeah. Like, I just feel like
we don't need to give them the time of day. Plus, I got to poop really bad, so.
There it is. I want to give shout outs to the THG podcast, Nuclear Heat Graphics, Strap, Sat Pod, Shooting the Shiznit, Comedy Suplex, Inhuman Experience. I don't know. I got this other one here, too. I need to add to my list. I don't know where it's at.
Well,
Talk Reckless Pod. I'm sorry, boys. Shout out to them as well. And anyone else I'm forgetting? Federation.
All I got on my mind right now is poop, so.
Okay. The Bomb Show will be back next week to talk all the shit in wrestling.
And all the shit in my toilet.
Just keep dragging this out.
But no, on the Federation feed, we got Fall Brawl 96 coming up tomorrow, actually. It's up on Patreon right now. Go check it out. It was one of my favorite WCW shows I've ever seen. I like where the Federation has been going the last couple of weeks, so I really hope you guys check it out.
I've been enjoying the shows, man.
Thank you, sir.
Pay-per-view take two, WrestleMania 11 is out, and we are recording TNA Victory Road. No.
Yeah. That's
what it's called.
Yeah. 2009.
Watched half the fucking show. 2009. We're recording it next weekend.
I can't wait for that episode. I can't
fucking wait. Dog shit. This show sucks.
Dog shit. Complete shit.
Yeah. So that's going on. Till then, may you get all the dick under pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you. Most importantly, be excellent to each other. You think I'm chosen? It's your problem. With the place that which I'm moving, yeah. I got my living. You got your prison. I want my living one more time. Hands on the shapes around to me. I've got a new disease. Come take this pain from me. Can't play the psycho. I'm fighting Bible. I'm feeling psycho. Killing time. That's your limbo.
Design.